drought and hydroelectric power in the Upper Lynn Canal, and the Haynesboro testifies before the state legislature to oppose a pair of budget proposals. This is your KHNS local news. I'm Claire Strimple. Those stories are up next. Much of Southeast Alaska is powered by hydroelectricity and experiencing drought conditions. Limited precipitation and a low snowpack have communities like Ketchikan and Prince of Wales turning to diesel, a dirtier and more expensive source of power. But hydropower in the Upper Lynn Canal is secure for now. The National Weather Service classifies the Upper Lynn Canal as abnormally dry this year, but that is unlikely to leave the region scrambling for hydroelectric alternatives anytime soon. Alaska Power and Telephone, or AP&T, manages local hydropower resources. Skagway manager Darren Belisle says snowpack does affect our resource, but not in a big way.
I would say a little bit, but not to the extent of as further south, because we're typically a drier area anyway. So the drought hasn't got us real bad. A lot of our hydros, like Cascadia, is glacial fed. So, as long as we have the ice up there, we get a lot of our water off that. And Goat Lake also is glacial fed, which helps us a lot when there's not enough rain.
Since the majority of local hydroelectric resources are glacier fed, this region's energy resource is more resilient in times of drought. Hydroelectric energy in the Upper Lynn Canal comes from Skagway and is shared with Haynes through an underwater line.
Where up here, we do have some white-topped mountains still, and I think we have more than we did last year. So that snowpack does definitely help with filling the lake and for our hydropower. But it's, like I said, we're not quite as dire as like Juneau and further south.
Drinking water reservoirs in Haynes are not glacier-fed. Haynes saw a record low precipitation last year, only about 30 inches. The average is 48. Aaron Jacobs is the area hydrologist with the National Weather Service in Juneau.
At least in the last 10 years, we have seen two very dry water years. And when you start seeing these dry conditions happen more often than not, then they can start having impacts or potentially could have impacts on ecosystems and then also on societal impacts from higher electric costs or water restrictions and stuff like that.
The effects of dry years are cumulative. If you can't make up water from previous drought, continued dry weather compounds the effects. Jacob says conditions are getting warmer and wetter in Southeast, but warmer and wetter isn't always good for water storage.
A byproduct of a warming environment, you don't have as much snowpack. And so then again, you don't have as much storage for water for when you have these dry periods. So your snowpack is great when you have your dry time of year. Like right now for Southeast Alaska, we're going to our dry period of time. So a lot of the water companies or hydroelectric power, they depend on that snowpack to replenish what was used in the wintertime. And then hopefully come fall time when we get our fall rains, that sustains us throughout the wintertime.
There are no drought classification markers specific to Southeast Alaska. Jacob says conditions are hard to measure in Southeast because in a rainforest, traditional drought measurements don't apply. Drought intensity is usually defined by social impacts. In the lower 48, those impacts are often agricultural. Local markers to Southeast are more likely to be things like fish returns, forest health, and hydroelectric sufficiency. The National Weather Service will have a meeting to discuss local drought classifications next month. The Haynesboro testified before the state legislature last week in opposition of a pair of budget proposals that would reduce municipal revenue. Senate Bill 63 would eliminate state assistance for paying off the costs of building the Haynes School, and Senate Bill 64 would prevent the borough from collecting revenue from the state's raw fish tax. Henry Leisha has more.
Funding for the school makes up the largest portion of the Haynesboro budget. At $1.8 million, it represents about a third of the borough's expenses. It is also the local service that would lose the most revenue under Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed budget. The school stands to lose over $600,000 from the state's per-student allocation. In addition, the Dunleavy administration introduced Senate Bill 64, which would eliminate the state's school bond debt reimbursement program. The program provides state money to offset the cost of building new schools. The Hainesboro used it after consolidating the primary, middle, and high school buildings into one facility in 2005.
Definitely, the school reimbursement, the school debt reimbursement program was a part of the decision that we made as a community to go forward with the construction of the school.
That's Hainesboro manager Deborah Schnabel. At a meeting last week, she testified before the Senate Education Committee in opposition of the bill. The borough took out more than $17 million in bonds to pay for the new school's construction. If Senate Bill 64 were adopted, the borough would stop receiving annual payments of $900,000 from the state to help pay off those bonds. Schnabel said that if the borough were to assume the entire debt from construction, the borough would have to increase property taxes by about 4 mils to offset the cost. A mil is equal to $1 for every $1,000 in assessed value of the property.
7 more years of taxing our community at 14 mils approximately would be devastating to the community. We anticipate already that it will be impossible for many people to continue to live in our community with that high of a levy of property tax.
The Hainesboro also testified in opposition of Senate Bill 63 last week. The bill would keep raw fish tax revenue in the state's hands rather than sharing half of it with the municipalities where the fish is collected or processed. Hainesboro Finance Director Gila Stewart told the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee that raw fish tax revenue brings in 3 to 10% of the borough's general fund revenue.
We try and use that money to support the fishing industry and support infrastructure that fishermen rely on. We also use that money to support schools in Haines. For those reasons, we don't support Senate Bill 63, and we would urge you not to put it forward.
The current legislative session ends on April 14th. However, the legislature is allowed to extend it until May 15th. That is the deadline for passing a state budget. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strimple. Thanks for joining us. You can hear these stories and more on our website at khns.org or follow the podcast on Stitcher or NPR One.